Welcome back to the Graston Technique Forum, our first installment regarding GT and the treatment of injuries to swimmers focused on elite athletes and everyday patients. Our second installment highlights the treatment approach regarding an acute versus chronic swimming injury. Our guests are Keenan Robinson, Director of Athlete Services for the North Baltimore Aquatic Club and GT provider since 2005, and Perry Buffy, a principal partner of Buffy Chiropractic Clinic and a GT provider since 2003.
Keenan, can you explain a little bit how your GT treatment approach might differ if it was an acute injury versus a chronic injury?
Yeah, I think when we approach the treatment of a competitive swimmer, the ability to be on deck and observing their movement patterns and their swimming every day lends to the benefit of how my treatment will go about. What I mean is they're really the acute injuries in swimming are very few and far between. What I mean by that is a swimmer won't jump in the water and run into another external object and have an injury pathology occur. As we know, it's from the repetitive adaptation of the same movement patterns. So I can kind of look at a swimmer and look at their total body rotation, their shoulder range of motion as they're performing that athletic activity, which they need to do to be a competitive athlete, and notice the shortening of their strokes, the lack of recovery, elbow recovery, the shorter distance of wingspan on a butterfly, the inability or resistance to hand depth on the recovery part of a backstroke, all those things that come into, so I have a general sense of where perhaps the dysfunction may be occurring from a soft tissue standpoint. And as we get them on the treatment table and begin to utilize the tools, I think the benefit of automatically seeing with the first tool utilized, the reverberations that occur given the tissue quality kind of directs your approach in treatment. And that's one of the benefits that you get from Graston that you do not get from any other myofascial treatment modalities, at least the ones that I use but have been exposed to, ART, cupping, myofascial decompression. So I kind of can get a sense of what their tissue quality is given my previous treatment of that area. And then we know if the tendon and soft tissue healing process or chronic inflammatory process has progressed in positive manner or in negative manner, which will then dictate not only our treatment with the tools, but the return to competition, return to training, return to stroke mechanics after the treatment technique.
So would you say you also use Graston technique not only to treat a specific injury, but do you also use it just to help performance enhancement?
Maybe absolutely.
Power?
As I stated at the very beginning, Graston, to me, benefit is it's a proactive modality instead of a reactive modality. So our swimmers utilize foam rolling and all the other self-myofascial release techniques, and I can see in the morning or before an afternoon practice, if an athlete is, for more than two practices, going to a particular area, we'll say posterior capsule of the shoulder, and that is where they're spending the majority of their 10-minute pre-practice foam rolling, self-myofascial technique, I know that what is being targeted is not being treated by themselves, and they need to see me before this becomes something problematic. That also being said is if we are in midst of a higher intensity or higher volume, both have detrimental effects to the connective tissue system block of training, I will, instead of the athlete waiting until the system breaks down, I will have them see me midweek, and it may just be one or two of the, instruments going over that area just to open it up the functional range of motion.
Terry, do you have anything to add to that? Anything you found specific in your practice with that type of application?
The majority of the people that I see for sure are coming in because they're having a problem. And so it's a different kind of population that I'm working with. And again, you know, Keenan's right there working with them. I'm very intrigued by the idea of him working, you know, watching them swim and their stroke and stuff. And I never see that in my patients. And having said that, you know, some of the local guys, especially the triathletes, and, you know, I'm going to tell you that with the exception of one, I have one high-level young guy, 18, but he's probably going to win Minnesota, whatever they call it, junior triathlete of the year or whatever. He's really just coming on strong. He's going to do an Ironman coming up pretty soon. He's done two half Ironmans. He just did one this weekend, and he came in just to do exactly what Keenan's talking about. He came in just to have me loosen him up and get himself ready for it. There's another guy that I see that's probably the number one referrer in my office of patients. He's a huge triathlete. He's not a great triathlete, but he's a huge proponent of the sport, and he sends me more patients to have swimmers particularly get those shoulders worked on, get them back in the pool or get them functioning normally. He's, of course, very good at coming in and just having himself loosened up as well. But, you know, the technique is going to work, you know, really well for different populations for different reasons.
You had mentioned relying earlier on strengthening exercise, therapeutic exercise. How do you now juggle the balance between therapeutic exercise and manual therapy? Do you rely more on one than the other? Do you try to do both with everybody? Do you try to strengthen people first before you improve their mobility or vice versa?
I'm working with them right away. I mean, they're coming into seeing me, and they want to be back in the pool, or they want to be competing in a couple of days. And so, you know, my job's usually to get them back in their sport. I'm just going to say it this way. I take pride in my ability to do that, get them back to competing. Having said that, usually I can isolate some kind of imbalance or an overuse thing. And to me, Keenan might be able to speak to this well, but, you know, I'm usually finding that their lats or their pecs actually need some weight training. It needs light weight training and some repetitive weight training, but that's the imbalance that I tend to see. And when I do get them to take that on, because a lot of times they're reluctant to add something else to their training regimen. You know, I'm talking to triathlete. They're already committing a lot of hours to a lot of training on the bike and running, and then the pool. And to be honest with you, the pool is usually where they're the weakest. This is why they need the most work. This is why they're getting the injuries. But when I can get them to understand that or get them to work on it on the off season, I think they benefit. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Again, I get a lot of patients that come see me from a long ways away. And so, you know, once they're done with whatever initially brought them in to see me, I don't necessarily get to see them again. And I guess the fact that I don't see them in follow-up tells me that they're doing pretty well.
Keenan, I understand your practice is a little different than Perry's. How would you respond to that? How do you balance strengthening and therapeutic exercise with your manual therapy interventions?
Well, one of the luxuries that I have is I also serve as the strength and conditioning coach for all the athletes at the North Baltimore Aquatic Club. So our approach is truly an integrated approach. And, you know, one of the adages that I often tell those athletes is that rubbing won't, working will, meaning there is no magic bullet, one quick fix, save, cure-all remedies when it comes to athletic performance. So the Gradson technique in and of itself will not alleviate the true dysfunction that is occurring. There has to be a personal ownership that goes on within the weight room or their pre-practice activities. So being able to address those issues, for instance, if I'm treating a pec subclavius area with the Graston tools, I may make an adjustment within the weight room, and we may not be doing any upper body vertical or horizontal pressing activities because that area is already past the point of no return in terms of adaptation and the stress that that area can withstand. And that also being said, is there's probably something in the antagonist group which needs more work at that point in time because it's been inhibited through the dysfunction that's occurred. So that's just a luxury I have. I don't think many people have that that luxury. That being said, most athletic trainers do, especially at the university setting or the professional setting, because they see them every day. So that's definitely something that should be incorporated into the whole treatment process when utilizing Graston.
So can you explain maybe a little bit, throughout the season, how would your approach with Graston technique vary if you're getting close to a competition? Do you change your approach at all versus just when they're in training?
Completely individual preference and basis. And what I mean by that is anybody that has had Graston performed on them knows that there is a few responses that do occur post-treatment, or can occur, shall we say. The petechiae histamine response is a common occurrence post-treatment. That does not mean that it always occurs. That also means that it does not always have to occur. I emphasize that because I've seen many athletes treated in other populations, and they value the effectiveness of that treatment on how much they quote-unquote bruise. My response to that population is that you don't really see the highest level of athletes walking around looking like they got into a fight and are bruised up. Also, the secondary pain response that comes from the breaking up and mechanoreceptor response of a tissue treatment can occur. So you may have those athletes that, closer to competition or in the competition in and of itself, do not want to have either one of those responses to occur. Second, to answer that question from a second part is, let's hope that I've done my job and my due diligence in treating the athlete during the season, that in the competitive season, that their connective tissue is at its best. I mean, I would be doing a disservice and I'd be a hoax if I wasn't having them at the most optimal tissue quality during the competitive season. So it may just be a quick pass, two or three treatment swipes over a particular area that is common to get glued down. So perhaps in the thoracic lumbar area, perhaps at the latissimus insertion within the pelvis, perhaps some subscap release post-treatment, but not necessarily going to the depth of treatment of when they're at their highest training volumes.
Perry, how would you answer that question? Do you feel the same way? Do you modify your approach when it gets to be closer to competition, or do you have to educate your athletes any differently before you treat them, either with exercise or manual interventions, prior to competition?
As a chiropractor, I am treating them in other ways in addition to using the Graston technique. And, you know, you're very, very often seeing in swimmers, you're seeing spinal concerns. Again, big freestyle population, we get a lot of neck issues going on, and it might just be neck dysfunction. Sometimes they don't even realize that that's going on. So they might be coming in to see me for that shoulder. This is far and away the biggest reason I'll get a referral from a swimmer. But I might be finding some cervical restriction or some lumbar restriction that's causing them to overwork or not allowing them to function as freely as normal. And, you know, before they're going into a competition, I am pulling back on my treatment because, you know, the truth of the matter is, whether it's from an adjustment or whether it's from Graston, sometimes there is some secondary soreness related to that. Having said that, the population is all very, very different. And some, and the highest functioning, the highest level of competitors that I see, and maybe Keenan could speak to this, they know their bodies really well. And so sometimes they're telling me exactly what they want. And I'm, again, I'm thinking my para athlete who, boy, at one point before he went to London, he flew in to see me just to get ready. And he was, he didn't have a lot of time. I mean, I basically had one visit with him, and he was telling me what he thought he needed. And he was seeing the trainers at the Olympics, and he didn't feel like what he needed was getting addressed. So he asked me to address it, and, you know, I did my best.
So last, Perry, for the swimmers out there listening to this podcast, what advice do you have for injury prevention?
I mean, thanks for asking, because it's an easy one. Spend more time in the weight room. Just, you know, focus on the lats and the pecs and the delts and the triceps and biceps, and just, you know, just light repetitive off-season training. And then I think that's just going to work synergistically with their shoulder to prevent those overuse injuries in the rotator cuff primarily.
Keenan, what advice do you have for swimmers out there to avoid injury prevention?
Well, I don't think they want to avoid injury prevention. I always say this to the athletes, is that this is your career. Therefore, take every step and embrace every step to make your career how you want it to end or how you want your career to go. Don't sit around and wait for something to occur or kind of follow the trends and open up magazines on the magazine rack at the drugstore or as you're flying on a plane and seeing what the quick fix new sizzle effect is. This is your career. You're an athlete unlike any other, where you're going to be training 11 months, 2 weeks out of the year for one competition, one World Series, one Super Bowl. You're going to have to take many, 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 many steps that other athletes and other disciplines don't necessarily have to take to keep your body functioning at the highest level. Appreciate that there's going to be those times where the work level outweighs the ability for the body to completely recover. Therefore, do everything in your power from a strength training perspective, a prehabilitative perspective, and a soft tissue perspective to keep your body functioning at its highest level.
Thank you for spending time with us today. If you're dealing with an injury and wonder if you can benefit from Grasson Technique treatment, please go to GrassonTechnique.com and locate a GT provider near you.
Thank you for joining the Grasson Technique Forum. Our next podcast will focus on the treatment of golf injuries.